But I'm going to have you turn tonight to start. It's not in your notes. Before we do current events, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. There was a person in the Bible by the name of Paul who used to go by the name of what? Saul. First Paul, then Saul. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 1. And everyone's turning their pages of their Bible, correct? Or touching the screens of their phones. Or you have this all by memory. All right. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Saul, he hasn't not become Paul yet. Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest. Saul was not a good guy. Just so you know. Well, why are you talking about this? You know that you and I didn't used to be good people either. Well, no, Pastor, even before I came to the Lord, I was good. No, you weren't. Because if you don't know Jesus, says there's no one that's good. I don't care how Mother Teresa you are. If you don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter. Okay? Verse 2, and he desired of him letters to Damascus and the synagogues, and he found his way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He was against followers of Christ. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. We're going to be talking about Damascus tonight in Syria, or Assyria at this time. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is God speaking to him. And he said, who art thou, Lord? I love that part. Who are you, God? Okay, so he's already answering the question who it is. And the Lord said to him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the city, and it shall be told what you're going to do. While you talk about obedience, whoo, he told him what to do. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Okay, so this means they were freaked out in the normal day vernacular. All right, verse 8. Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw what? Nothing. But they led him by the hand. Now, in the original text, it says he was in the dark. Still could see nothing, but it says his eyes were dark. Okay, is everyone? He's blind, he's dark. And he brought him to Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And him to the Lord in the vision, Ananias had said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street. Now, interesting enough, in verse 10, see, Ananias, when a voice came to him, he said, hey, Lord, what's going on? He knew his voice. Someone who's in the dark, who's that? But we all do recognize that there is someone. Remember, what I'm talking about right now is last week, as I shared with you about my brother and my friend from high school coming to Christ. We have to remember, when people are away from God, even if you were once walking with him, if now you're away, the Bible says you are in the dark. When you're in the dark, you do things that you wouldn't normally do in the light. Okay, just one amen. Thank you, brother. All right. Well, not me. Well, sure. Okay, well, I use a flashlight, Pastor. Well, that's light. Okay, so in the dark. And Ananias went, and the Lord said, arise and go into the street, which is called what? Straight. Is that a coincidence, you think? Go straight. And inquire in the house of Judas for one is called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming, putting his hand on him, and that he might receive his sight. Then, verse 13, Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many how evil he has done in the saints of Jerusalem. Wow, okay, stop right there. When we are praying for people, you hear what's going on in the world, you see all these things. And you take information home from you on a Wednesday night. You go, oh, man, this would be perfect for this person. But you know what? They won't listen. They're so bad. I've been witnessing them for years. They won't listen. I just gave you a testimony last week of two people just exactly like that. One who's heard the gospel's whole life and one who's never heard it. Both in the dark. Both in the dark. Don't prejudge people to think, I don't know if they'll accept the gospel or not. verse 14. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that came on the name. But the Lord said unto him, go, for he's a chosen vessel unto me. You know what? Everyone's chosen. You know what the Bible says? I choose you. It's up to us to choose him. So all throughout the word, you hear this, well, okay, I've chosen. No, he chose us, but we have to choose him. So he says, I've chosen him to bear my name for the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So someone needs to go speak to somebody who God's choosing, because it's not God's will that anyone should perish. Well, that was good. Praise God. All right. But the Lord said unto him, go the way. Verse 16, I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way, and he entered in the house, and putting his hands on him, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, the appeared unto thee in that way, as thou came, has sent me, and mighty receive thy sight. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. All throughout Scripture as well, they talk about people who don't know Christ as scales. You know, the word says you can pray for scales to be removed from people's eyes. And it's not just in the physical sense, it's in the spiritual sense. We cannot make anyone receive Christ. We cannot go in the gap for them to receive Christ. Oh, God, on my behalf, I receive Christ for them. You can't do that. But what you can do is ask for scales to be removed from their eyes so they can see who Jesus is. Why? Because I've chosen them, and I need everything removed so they can choose me. Okay, this is where we're going right through this verse. Immediately there fell from his eyes scales. He received sight and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, baptized the Holy Spirit, and when he received meat, well, sounds like the word. Someone got some word in him, right? Some meat, right? By now we should all be on the meat. He got meat. What is meat for? He received meat and he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with Damascus, whereas at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he's the Son of God. Well, that's what I want, Pastor. I just want to get saved and start preaching immediately. Okay, let's just go back. You just need Jesus first. Get Jesus. Get Jesus. Secondly, before we get in current events, go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's a couple books over. It's about 100 pages in my Bible. Once again, a little Bible humor for everyone that no one actually laughed. I will edit that in later for the people at home. It was very funny. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 12. Paul's had his experience, filled with the Holy Spirit, got on his meat, he's strengthened, he's strong, his eyes are back, he's seeing things clearly, and now Paul is starting churches. Paul and Timothy is actually going to other pastors and telling them, hey, you're going to have to do some suffering. God has revealed to me the suffering we're going to have to go through. People are going to persecute you. They're going to hate you for my name's sake. And I'm going to speak something into Timothy right now in chapter 1, starting with verse 12. So once again, talking about people who aren't saved, never give up on somebody. Something's going to happen. Paul's addressing him here. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, O Lord, who has enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He counted me faithful. We need to be counted faithful. Verse 13, who is before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I mean, I was in the dark. Okay? I was in the dark. But the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul's saying, hey, if he can save me, he can save you. Right? I'm not here to judge you for what you've done in the past, because you ain't going to believe what I've done in the past. So, Timothy, this is what you're going to speak to everyone. You're going to stop judging people for what they've done because they were in the dark and they had scales on. The things that they got themselves involved in, the things that they stumbled over, it doesn't matter, because now the scales are removed and they see light, and they're going to attain mercy because everything that I did prior to that was in the dark. Wow, that's good stuff. Thank you, Lord. Verse 16, howbeit then, for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, verse 17, unto the King eternal, who is immortal, who is invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen? Never give up on anybody. Don't prejudge anyone's past. I don't care. I don't care about my past. I could care less about your past. Why? Jesus doesn't care. He cares about your future. Paul was the chiefest of sinners. He said so. And he says, hey, I had some scales, Timothy, trust me, this is a terrible thing. And then he wrote that in Acts. And when 1 Timothy, he addressed, listen, I was bad, but it doesn't matter. I obtained mercy through the power and through the person of Jesus Christ, accepting this free gift, who he chose me. All I had to do was choose him. So tonight at the end, we're going to be praying for those people in your life that you know who need to choose him. Amen. All right. Current events. Everyone ready? Not lots been going on lately. So since we're not going to take the next 7 weeks in a row without stopping to go over what's in the news that lines up with the end times, we'll hit a couple tonight. This first gentleman, September 9th? Whew, September 9th. Okay, tomorrow night's NFL. Okay, September 9th, sorry. September 9th, 2015, current events. Here we go. Conservative dissent is brewing inside the Vatican. Well, why do I care about the Vatican? Because we've been talking about it. It's an end time prophecy all throughout. Why? It's all throughout the book of Revelation. And it actually happens to be the very church, right, in Rome, Italy, that John wrote, hey, guess what? This last beast system, this Islamic caliphate, is going to wipe out that apostasy in Rome, Italy, and we're going to set back up shop in Jerusalem when we take and we kick out the Israel. So here is, it says, conservative dissent is brewing inside the Vatican. And this is important because it's all in the Bible. On a sunny morning earlier this year, a camera crew entered a well-appointed apartment just outside the 9th century gates of the Vatican City. Pristinely dressed in black robes and scarlet sash of the Prince of the Roman Catholic Church, Wisconsin-born Cardinal Raymond Burke. You guys remember that name? We've talked quite a bit about him on and off for the last year in current events. A staunch conservative and Vatican bureaucrat, Burke has been demoted by the Pope a few months earlier. If you remember his stance on several issues that not just the Catholic Church, but the Evangelical Church just seems to be tearing pages out of the Bible lately. Well, this particular Vatican representative, Cardinal Raymond Burke, he actually stands on the word on all those issues. He said, because he's been demoted, he says, Pope Francis has been backing more a inclusive era that everyone, okay, you guys understand, that he's a big boy in the Catholic Church, cardinal, okay? He said, Pope Francis has been backing an inclusive era. Inclusive means everyone gets to go, everything's okay, everything's permissible. Giving space to progressive voices on every single thing from marriage to gays and lesbians, just quoting what he's saying, and I'm explaining some of this because he goes on in his letter. In front of the camera, Burke says he is resisting all these liberal changes and expects one day to possibly even get kicked out because he believes the Bible. And this, you guys, this is end time stuff. It's right here. Papal power, Burke warned, is not absolute. The Pope does not have the power to change the Bible. But every month and almost now weekly, he is broadening his power, changing what the Bible says. This is a cardinal in the Catholic Church. This is huge stuff, everyone. Why? Because we know the Bible says that there is going to be a system, a religious system, that's going to be an apostate Christianity, which means you have to go against the word, but to be apostate means you have to look like it. So you have to look like it, but you're going to be going against. So in the past, it's looked like, for the most part, they've been, well, they're off on this and off on this. Okay, but there are some key issues that Revelation talks about four times the Revelation. For whatever reason, John, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote, it says, the homosexual will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Pastor, why are you hammering this? Because this is what's going on today, and Jesus said, open your eyes in Matthew 24:33. And this is what's splitting this church that is mentioned during the tribulation. He says he is upending, the Pope is upending church conventions. Francis is grappling with conservative backlash to the liberal momentum building all throughout the world inside the Catholic Church. The cardinal wrote, the conservative rebellion is going public. There are rising popularity of conservative Catholic websites promoting Francis dissenters, books and promotional materials backed by conservative clerics seeking to counter the liberal trend. Catholic people in high places are leaving the Catholic Church to go to the evangelical church. This is a cardinal. He's saying there's something going on. What is that? It's the shaking, everyone. This is the shaking of the sheep and the goats. This is anything that's, see, something has to happen. You have to go contrary to the word. You have to start making a stand in order to say, am I going to be for or am I going to be against this? This is the wheats and the tares. This is what's going on. Eyes are being opened in high places everywhere. Everywhere. He also said, I want to read this whole article, but for time's sake. He says, conservatives counter that in this climate of rising liberal thought throughout the Catholic Church, that there has been thrusting unfairly in position which, once again, this is the cardinal speaking this, and he said, because defending the real teachings of the Bible makes you look like an enemy of the Pope. Because this is big interview. This is big stuff. Burke, the cardinal from Wisconsin, has called the Catholic Church, under the new Pope Francis, a ship without a rudder. Citing Pope Francis has also equated that violence has nothing to do with Islam and that everyone in the America and the rest of the world is wrong. In conservative circles, inside the Catholic Church, the word confusion has become a euphemism for censoring the papacy with mentioning the Pope. In one instance, there is now 500 Catholic priests in Britain, the dark continent, drafted an open letter citing too much confusion in the Catholic Church. Don't know where we stand anymore. You guys, this is so huge. On one of his speeches as he's going through the United States, as he left the Middle East and he went from the last 2 months, he's been meeting with members of Islam saying, you guys, you got it all wrong. Everyone's got it all wrong. They're not, all you got to do is go up with the Quran and go, no, everybody's got it right. You just have to read. Here we go, the next. The Christian militia is taking on Islamic State in Iraq. The Christian militia, did you know there's a Christian militia in Iraq? There's a Christian militia. Across the sun-scorched landscape of the Nineveh Plain in Iraq, I believe it was week 2 and 3 of the study that we're currently on, we talked about all the biblical sites that are all throughout Iraq, right? Y'all remember that? Nineveh being one, shown up on the screen right now, you'll see the Nineveh Plains. It's going straight up. Here's the Tigris and the Euphrates River cutting northwest to southeast. And just north of Baghdad, as you go up, is called the Nineveh Plains. It's highlighted in that arrow. We talked about, which is north of Mosul, which we talked about as well, which several of the Sunni and Shias have been fighting up to that region as they go further north towards where the Kurds are, which is predominantly a Christian area. But these Christian fighters are from Syria. Why is this such a big deal? Okay. The Quran says the border must come down between Syria and Iraq. You have people, Christians from Syria, going into Iraq to fight ISIS. Why? Because they get it. They understand the culture and understand the Quran. That's what they heard growing up. They understand. Okay, I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to get ahead of myself. And okay, I don't want to miss anything. I'm so excited right now. Okay. These Assyrian Christians who have military experience, said, we will stand in our lands. We will protect our land. Why is it protecting your land? He says, because this is the land that the Bible and the Quran speaks of. The Nineveh Plain lies between Kurdistan and the Sunni people. We went over that map. It's in your notes. The Sunnis and Kurds are continually struggling against each other. This area, for whatever reason, could be religious. This is a writer now. Or is it because it's full of oil? We don't know. All though we know is these Christian fighters are coming up against ISIS and actually think they can beat ISIS. These Assyrian Christians fear that this will happen if they don't make a stand to everyone else. They know that even if the Islamic State is destroyed in that region, it says there will be one more major war left to come. People are getting it everywhere now. People are getting it everywhere. All right. Next, in that same region, Turkey. Turkey sends ground forces into Iraq after militant attacks. So you have Syrian Christians going into Iraq. Why are you talking about Iraq, Pastor Grant? Because it's in the Bible, and it's in the Quran, and it's in the news every single day, and the Bible says this is going to take place. Turkey is now sending ground forces into Iraq after militant attacks. Now, in the Quran, it said the borders must come down before their Mahdi to come, right? The borders must come down. So it doesn't say who's going to do it. It just says there's going to be trouble all throughout Syria and Syria and Iraq. The borders are going to come down. The Turkish ground forces have now crossed into Iraq in pursuit of Kurdish militants. Now, once again, just because you're Kurd doesn't mean you're a Christian. It's the area. It's the Kurdish area in northern Iraq. Government official says this incursion, although short-term, can see it going even further, creating a war throughout the Iran, Iraq, Turkey, and Syria area very shortly. You can't make this up. Not a day passes by in Turkey these days without violence. The new president says they have never seen violence like this ever in the history. It says after one attack in the morning, there is more attacks in the afternoon. Emotions are running high. We do not know what to do. Okay, once again, everyone, I'm not trying to scare you. We're preparing you, right, everyone? Don't look troubled in fear. Lift up your head. We're about to pop out of here, right? She's just telling us, get ready to go. We're going to have about a seven-year vacation time up in heaven. That's what the Bible says. And then we're going to come back down here for 1,000 years, right? Because we're getting ready to go. This is what it's telling us to do. Now, next, Netanyahu is starting along the Jordan, a fence launch. Israel trying to control its borders. As we talked about, Jordan to the north, Saudi Arabia as well, has been trying to talking about putting fences up all along the way to stop ISIS. Now, Israel already has fences up in the north in the Golan Heights. We showed that a couple weeks ago as he's looking out the Golan Heights because all the UN peacekeepers have left. Into the south, as you go into Egypt, once again, same thing. All the UN peacekeepers are gone. They have fencing along that. And what's that fencing is for is not so much military, it is from people spilling into it illegally into the country. A day after the opposition leader called on the government to take in Syrian refugees, are leaving by the thousands. You've been watching this on TV, everyone to the north off of Lebanon, the Mediterranean Sea, everything's right. It's just flying out of there to the north. But they're also coming in towards the south and through Jordan, which is southeast, and then they come into from on the east side of Israel, going west inside of Israel. Since returning to power, Netanyahu has overseen the construction of similar fences from the Sinai border. And this is on the news every single day, the refugees, what's going on. Once again, I'm trying to key you in onto certain stories. If you see someone says, oh, man, I can't believe they let that child die on the beach. I can't believe it. Well, man, all these refugees, why aren't they taking them in? Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Israel, but this should remind you. Israel, right there up on the screen, on the southwest border, is the Sinai Peninsula. That is an annexed area. It's a buffer between Egypt and Israel. It's a pretty large area. If we kept going as to the west of that screen or to the left as you see it, that would be the Red Sea coming out as well. So the Sinai borders, and long there's a security fence up in the Golan Heights, which is in the upper portion of the screen. It's in the purple, separating that from Syria and also butting up to Lebanon to the north. Benjamin Netanyahu said, we're beginning today the construction of a security fence all along the eastern border separating Jordan to the east, right there, see Amman, Jordan, the capital city, and that along all throughout the West Bank, because that is part of Israel. It's just the occupied areas of the Palestinian areas. We're doing this, he said, although people are saying in the news that we are heartless, we have taken more refugees than the 10 surrounding nations. Ding, 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 ding. Anybody catch that? 10 surrounding. I'm gonna bring this up again in a minute, this next current event. I mean, there's things going on here. Whether they go, hey, I want to say this to cue people in the United States about the 10 nations and roughly. No, I'm, it's just, this is what's happening. We're going to go back to that in a couple of weeks because they're going to have some information on that, whether or not the United States is going to be a part of this or come against what they're doing with that fence for the refugees. Khomeini, senior Iranian officials continued the rhetoric against Israel on Wednesday. It says, Khomeini says, we will increase air defense. We will continue defending not just our own country, but all those oppressed people of the world. Okay, we got a cue on this. Okay, so you have Iran. Iran is part of the Khorasan area we've been speaking of. Iran with Afghanistan and Pakistan. The Quran says that there needs to be control coming from that area as well as the Iraq-Syria area. You guys remember this? This is why this news, we go through all this so you guys can lock in on this. So Khomeini says we are going to start defending people, not just in Iran, but all over the world who line up with us to protect us against America and Zionists. So what does that mean? He's doing a caliphate. That's called a caliphate. This is right on. So pictures. Here is they're trying to protect. One of the things that the air defense is going to be protecting is a nuclear facility right on the south coast there. Do you guys see it at Bashur right there in the Persian Gulf? Right there in the southern part of Iran, that is one of the areas that needs protection by this aircraft. The media has showed a military exercise that including placing anti-aircraft missiles near the Bashur nuclear facility. Meanwhile, Iran's Arab and Foreign Affairs Deputy Minister met with Hezbollah about how he can help them with air defense as well. Sounds like there's a plan going on, and they're all going to be surrounding Israel. Here is a zoomed-in picture, satellite picture, of the movement that's going around the nuclear facility. This is how they know what's going on. This is all over the TV. It says the country's Islamist movement and called on the Muslims to form a united front against the Zionist enemy. This was all over the news. They're calling everyone around the world. It's time to begin this. You guys, this is why the black flags are going everywhere. That's why we've been talking about this, so you see this. But I want to tell you this is our last current event for tonight, and this kind of just encapsulates everything that's going on. This is one of my favorite current events of all times, I believe. At first, Israel pitches Bible study sessions to foreign envoys and foreign ministers linking Jewish texts to today's current events. Okay, I want you to understand something. This is so huge. There is 87 diplomatic heads in Israel from foreign nations that are coming in. What they've done is they started a Bible study as part of, if you want to be a diplomat in Israel, you need to understand biblical history to see what's going on today so you can help govern diplomatically the affairs of what are taking place. Wouldn't you like some of that in the White House right now? Hey, let's get the Bible scholar down the hallway. Should we do this? So this is what they're doing. They're saying, you want to come in here and for your other countries and represent that? Fine. We need you to study the Bible, and we're going to do classes for you. This gentleman right here, Daniel Marin, is the head of Foreign Ministries, UN, and International Organizations Division. He sets up classes to go over the Bible and relates it to today so they can understand what's going on in the Middle East. As the Jewish high holidays approach, the foreign ministry is inviting foreign ambassadors serving in Israel to a first-of-its-kind study session to explore the scriptures and how they relate to today's world so they can navigate the waters. We are telling them, according to Daniel Marin, that this is the time for understanding the Jewish people in God's word. Leading two separate study sessions, our scholars seeking to connect the Bible, the Jewish holiday season, the challenges facing diplomats in the 21st century as God would see them and how to protect. He said, by inviting them to this session, we are achieving a few things. We're exposing them to the Bible. I just love this. I mean, just, we're talking about relevant issues, current events, bringing to light issues that were discussed over 2,000 years ago that are now taking place. This is what's going on in Israel right now. If you think we're living the Bible right now, can you imagine what Israel's going through right now? What are you guys talking about? No, you're watching the Bible take place. We're living the Bible every single day. We're surrounded by this. Like, we're waiting for our prime minister is saying, hey, the 10 nations are all around us right now. They're popping up. So, but in the midst of this, I know you guys, you get a little struggle at times. You get a little tense at times. So what I need you to do is just, you got to let it out. Okay, sorry. All right, you guys got your notes tonight? So isn't that some good news? That is some good news, what's going on. Thank God for those men and women who are going to be teaching all those foreign diplomats in Israel. Time of the End, Part 10, September 9th. Last week, we looked at the four horsemen in Revelation, Chapter 6. The four horsemen we also looked at, and it was a three-week study on the seven bowls, the seven seals, and the seven trumpets last fall. We went into detail what that was, and what we did in the last couple weeks is we tied it into what is the imagery of the Quran and those four colors, the black, the red, the green, and the white, and what they represent, okay? So the Palestinian flag is how we ended, is the only flag that has those four colors. Those four colors in the Islamic world represent different eras of the Islamic world, also different like eras, regimes, and also all of the surrounding Islamic from ISIS to Hezbollah to Fatah, all those areas around there and those organizations that are going to come up against Israel, those four colors are now just stuck right on the east side of Jerusalem right now. And the Bible said in the beginning of the last 42 months. So in God's word, as we've studied, the seven-year tribulation period is broken into, this is the Bible, 42 months. That's 3.5 years. It's in two parts of 42 months. Or some of your Bibles say 1,260 days, which is 42 months. So the Bible said in the beginning of the last 42 months, or 3.5 years in the tribulation, the Antichrist and the beast system. The Antichrist, the beast system, is a religion and it is a governmental system. This is what you would call a caliphate or joined with Sharia law. All these terms are either Sunni or Shia. In general, Islamic terms from Iman to Caliph, they all mean the same thing when you crisscross the Sunni and the Shia. But this Antichrist and the beast will destroy Mystery Babylon and Rome, Italy at 3.5 years into the tribulation. We studied that. We looked in God's word from Daniel to Revelation, Old Testament, New Testament. It's all confirming. So this Antichrist, then, we're going to take the 10 nations into Israel and take over Jerusalem for 42 months, the last 42 months of that tribulation period, 3.5 years in, and for the last 3.5 years. In Daniel 11:45, it says that Antichrist is going to pitch his tents between the seas, the Dead Sea, the Mediterranean, on the glorious holy Mount Zion right there in Jerusalem, and yet he shall come to his end with none to help him, because you and I are going to be scooting right on down there. We're going to come back with Jesus riding that horse, and you and I are going to be riding Ferraris or whatever we're going to be riding, and we're going to come down with our big swords, and we're just going to be slaughtering all the enemy. The Bible says he's going to speak, and his words come out like a sword, and it slays him and throws him into the bottomless pit at the end of Revelation. Now remember, the beast, though, mentioned in the Bible is a one-world government and a one-world religion led by the false prophet and the Antichrist. When you see it's the beast. When I saw the beast rise up, the beast was a system. There's the Antichrist, the false prophet, and they are in part of the beast system. In Islam, a one-world government and a one-world religion is called a caliphate. So in the Quran, it says at the end of time, they will begin a caliphate. The Bible says at the end of time, there will be a system called the beast. It's not a coincidence, everyone. Okay? God says there's going to be a one-world system, government, and a one-world religion. He calls it the beast. 600 years later, after this was written, Muhammad sitting out in the desert said, let's call it a caliphate. It's the same thing. See, the enemy is twisting scripture, twisting it to mirror, look like something. So the patterns are happening once again. In the Islamic world, what's happening right now in Syria, what's happening in Iraq and Iran is self-fulfilling prophecy. They want the Mahdi to come. They want Isa to come. So they have to do these things in order for him to come. God's word said 600 years earlier, and in Daniel, 1,200 years earlier than Muhammad's writings, that, oh, by the way, this is what they're going to do. Okay. And then we looked at the mark of the beast last week as well, and what the Bible speaks of in Revelation chapter 13. We're going to do that real quick. Revelation 13, 16 through 18. And this is key for what is going on in the world right now to understand it, not just with current events, but biblically and what we're going to be speaking about tonight. The word says, and I'll do the amplified. It says, he, the Antichrist and false prophet alike, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, are going to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hands or their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription, chip, whatever you want to call it. That is the name of the beast and the number of his name. There's information on there representing the name of the beast. What's the beast, everyone? It's a government system and a religious system. So this mark, this chip, this etching that's going to be on them represents the name of the beast, right? Which is the beast is, I'm in the government system and I believe with the religion of it. And it's going to represent the name. Everyone with me? It's those three things. Because it says the beast and his name of his name. The beast is two things, religion and government. Here is room for discernment. And then it explains it in verse 18. A call for the wisdom of interpretation. Let anyone who has what? Okay. I love that. Let anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough calculate the number or symbol in the original text of the beast. For it's a number, a symbol, the number of a certain man. His number is 666. It is, what is that number? Go back to verse 17. It's the name of a beast. It's a name. This name, this man, this Antichrist is actually the name of a beast system. It's a one-world religion, a one-world government, and your name is going to be in that chip, your number, your social security number, whatever number they come up with. So the false prophet and the Antichrist are teaming up together to initiate a mark to control buying and selling. A false prophet, a religious leader. Sounds like an apostate Christianity. The Antichrist, which I believe, and I've said this all along, is right out of God's word, will be Muslim. He's going to be an Islamic extremist, radicalized, whatever they want the word is. The false prophet will be a defective pontiff pope. This is what we went through that last week. Real quick, I'm not going to go over this thoroughly, but there's the three reasons why. We'll say, well, why does it say in the last 42 months we're going to have to take this chip? It doesn't make sense. Well, the word says there's going to be famines and droughts. There's going to be rationing of food everywhere. And in order to control the food, and point number three, you're gonna have to get a mark, because they're gonna have to say, hey, you got enough food? Boom, they're gonna scan you. You got enough food, you got enough food. Right now, last week, a current event in Pakistan, right? Pakistan, flooding everywhere. What's happening? This is on national news. It says, if you are a Muslim, you get food and shelter. If you are a Christian, unless you convert, you will get no food and no shelter. This is happening right now in Pakistan. That was last week's current event. It's happening right now. So we know this is good. Well, I wonder if that could be true. Sure, it happens all the time. You ration food. The reason people are beheaded in the tribulation is they will not worship the image or the beast system, right? They don't worship it. They don't agree with it. They won't take the mark or the chip. Bam, their heads get cut off. The only religion in the world that beheads people right now is Islam. If you're Baptist or you won't accept the Baptist theology, you do not get beheaded. It's a joke, everyone. Okay, it's all right. So, I didn't know that. No, if you're Presbyterian, Assemblies of God, we don't behead people if you don't accept what religion. Well, you don't believe in speaking in tongues? Off with your head. I mean, that's just that you don't do that. So the only thing that's happening is, oh, this is who does it. And it's been happening since the time of Muhammad in 640 AD when he took over Mecca and Medina. So the mark or the chip or the RFID chip that the Bible speaks of is planning, and I want you to make sure you either highlight, circle that. Well, Pastor, named a year. No, it's planning. Let he with understanding, right? Jesus commanded us to know the signs of the season. So there's got to be some signs. Man is telling you, I'm planning. The United States, we looked at that last week in current events for the last 6 months. Man is telling you, the United States alone, that we're planning on chipping everybody by 2017. The UN is planning on chipping the whole world by 2017. Could that be pushed back a year? Could it be pushed back 2 years? Sure it could. I'm guessing, okay. If something happened like 20 million people disappeared, I might think that might put the plans back a little bit. You might be understaffed, right? Hey, we're supposed to put all these chips in. I don't got no workers. Well, we'll have to delay it a little bit. Right? So, well, because I thought they're supposed to get chipped 3.5 years into it. 3.5 plus 2017. Man, it could happen any moment. Yes! Jesus could come at any moment. Well, what about other prophecy? It's all been fulfilled, except for what happens after the rapture of the church. Well, how come that hasn't been fulfilled yet? Because we're still here. Well, you're saying everything's been fulfilled? Yes, up until the rapture of the church, everything, there's no more prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. Everything's in line. Everything's ready to go. But the word says, well, then why is God dragging his feet? He's not dragging his feet as man or tardy or low. He says it's not his desire that anyone should perish. He's given everyone the last shot at it. Why? So he's saying, man, here's a war over here, and I hear it. Let he with understanding understand. This mark is coming. Let him understand that Turkey is going to come into Iraq, and Iraq is supposed to rule. It's going to be in chaos before I come back. Syria is going to be taken away. Iran, all these areas, Israel's got to be surrounded. He doesn't want anyone to perish, so he would understand. Let him understand what's going on. We looked at Vice President Joe Biden, who's a senator at the time. He asked Justice Roberts in 2005 as confirmation here. He said, during your tenure. Well, how if it doesn't happen during his tenure? Once again, this is man's plan, and God says, study what's going on around you. Here's the system that's going to go in place. Justice Roberts, he asked him, he said, hey, during your tenure, you're going to have to decide, is it lawful for a United States citizen to take a chip in your hand? It's right on C-SPAN. So the mark or chip in Revelation 13:18 represents an apostate Christianity, Islamic government, and you'll be a slave in order to buy or sell. On that preceding pages, you'll have the symbols from last week. Remember, the Bible says in chapter 18, let he with understand the symbols, not just the numbers. What they did, numbers in the Greek gematria, they took the chi, the xi, and the stigma, assigned 600 to chi, 60 to xi, pronounced xi, spelled xi, and the stigma. So when you say chi, xi, stigma, that means Christos is the symbol for 600. Xi is a symbol for Allah, and 6 is slave all throughout the Bible. Let he with understanding, that's verse 17. You guys remember, you have to take this for a beast system, and you have to be a slave to it. In verse 18, it says this is what it is, and you have the symbols right here. So it's all right in front of us. So we could then say, calculate the number or symbol of the beast, for it shall be in the name of Allah. It's right out of the Arabic, Arabic text. Aramaic. Revelations 11:2. But the court which is without the temple leaves out and measure it not, for it's going unto the Gentiles, and that holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. So you have this mark that we just talked about that's going to take place in the last 42 months. What's going to be there? Then the Gentiles, or the people who aren't with Christ in this vernacular, are going to take over Israel. So how close are we? How close is the season? ISIS is taking over the borders and trying to remove border lines from Syria and Iraq to form the new caliphate or beast system. They will be reforming the old Babylonian Empire, or as the Bible says, Mystery Babylon. Now, real quick, I want to give you, when you rely on CBS and NBC and the regular news media to give you your biblical information out of the Bible, you're going to be sadly disappointed. They are not telling you what the Bible says. They're telling you what they want to tell you. Just understand that. Well, I thought CNN was Christian. No, it doesn't stand for the Christian News Network. Well, I thought Fox News was Christian. No, they just have inexpensive coffee mugs. So when President George Bush went to Iraq to fight the war, he did it because of weapons of mass destruction. You guys remember that, right? We, the United States, gave Iraq months of notice, and when we got there, we didn't find, according to the intelligence community, as much stuff as we thought we'd find, right? You guys remember that? As a result, President Bush, along with the administration, were criticized for starting a war for ulterior motives. Hey, where was it at? We didn't find it. But Iraqi General George Sada and many other military people from the Middle East, along with satellite images from these countries, and this, you guys, this is regular. Once again, this is regular news. This is something they don't want you to know, but you can get it because you can hear it right from this general. Right from this general from Iraq during that time he was there. They show weapons moving into Syria. They were sealed off in caves and underground in a military base. Wait, okay, is this a pro-George Bush thing? No, I'm trying to tell you right now about end times and the news and the media and how we are supposed to get our news. Everyone get that? All right. In the book, Saddam's Secrets, or Saddam, the man who served as the number two official in Saddam Hussein's Air Force, General Sada, says Iraq moved weapons of mass destruction into Syria before the war by loading weapons into civilian aircraft in which the passenger seats were removed. His book, I put the cover of that book right down at the bottom. See, interesting enough, you're not going to find that in the news. Why? Because that's political. It has nothing to do with political. What happened over there? What's going on over there? We're sending men and women over there fighting this war. What's going on there? The news that is coming back, well, during the Noriega invasion in Panama, that's when I was stationed in Panama. The news that you were hearing back here had nothing to do with what was going on in Panama. You were being told what you were wanted to be told about what was going on during that invasion. But General Sada said in his book, and since 2006, he's been on a lot of interview shows, said that the pilots of the two airliners that transported the weapons of mass destruction to Syria from Iraq approached him in the middle of 2004. He said, I know them very well. They're very good friends of mine. We trust each other. We're friends as pilots. He declined to disclose their names, saying that they're concerned for the safety. The pilots told General Sada that two Iraqi Airways Boeings were converted to cargo planes or removing the seats. Now, remember, we told them for months that we were going to come invading them. Months. You know, you cannot clean your house for months, but someone's coming over in 5 minutes, you can clean that thing in 5 minutes, can't you? So it's like, how come I haven't been cleaning this thing the whole time? Well, it took me 5 minutes. When you're motivated, you can do a lot of things. How did they move all these weapons in 7 months? Well, I'll tell you. You had 7 months to figure it out. The flights, 56 flights in total, attracted little notice because they were thought to be civilian flights providing relief from Iraq to Syria. Oh, it sounds like refugees wanted to get out of there. Wow, I wonder why countries like Israel don't want refugees flying over the border. Because they're not all good. Saddam really realized this time the Americans are coming. They really are coming this time. They told me they were coming for years, but now they are coming. Now the secular media hated President Bush so much, they're not going to tell you that. Well, why are you telling me this? Because I'm telling you, your media is dark. Well, should I never watch the news? No, you can read the news. Well, I just read you facts from the news. How can people who are actually in the war, at the war, generals say, yeah, there was stuff there, and the media say, no, there wasn't. There was nothing there. That's crazy. It was all the community intelligence, everyone was wrong. Well, is this conspiracy theory? No, I'm telling you, the media is dark. So as we started off tonight, it was no coincidence, the passages that I read about when people are in the dark, they say and do things that aren't good. The media, all your news prompter people are not Christians. There's an agenda that doesn't line up with the word. Some of that agenda lines up with getting paid. Hey, you're going to say this. Well, I don't agree with that. Do you want to get fired? No. Then say that. All right. Or they say things that aren't true, and later on they get fired. What happened? Right? Brian Williams, Dan Rather. What happened to these, right? So they're, well, but have they said things? You guys, this happens all the time. It's who wants to be set up. Who wants to be, who wants to do what? It doesn't matter. We live in a world where right is wrong and wrong is right. The Bible says the end times they'll call good evil and evil good. It's not limited to governments. It's media is dark. There's an agenda. The enemy, Satan, uses media. Oh, that's not true. Turn on the radio and listen to some music. Oh, no, all music is good. Really? You don't think Satan uses media? Of course he does. That's the easiest thing. See, Satan's not omnipresent. All he has to do is hit someone to lay down a track. Man, that track, I can remember songs from 45 years ago, and I was one then. I can sing songs from when I was, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You remember the songs, man, when did I know that? My mom goes, well, I sang that to you as a child. Really? And I still remember it? Yeah, the enemy has you on a loop. You will remember things in the news that you had no idea. Well, that can't be true. I remember in the news. The news is dark. There are scales. You need to be praying for people that have scales removed that are even in the media. See, what they didn't tell you, you know what? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Just jot these down for time's sake. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. I put them there. There is dark things going on. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Paul wrote this. He said, you are children of the light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night and not of the darkness. We have nothing to do with the dark. Stop listening to people who have no idea what they're talking about. Stop listening. Well, I really like this guy. And I think he's funny. I know he's off a little bit and he doesn't really tell the truth. Then why have you listened to him? There are Christian authors who are in the dark. Just because they sell it at a Christian bookstore doesn't mean it's the light. Well, that can't be true. Why would they sell it there? Because they gotta make money. Well, is money the root of all evil? No, the love of money is the root of all evil. The enemy will use anything. Ephesians 5:8. Oh, it just so happens, Paul wrote this too. Wait, is that the guy we talked about in Acts tonight who had the scales removed? Yeah, he had this abundance of light came in. Because before, he was actually against the Christians, slaughtering them. There are news people, there are news media people who are against Christians. You look shocked. Really? Yeah, they're against Christians. You can watch one news station report one story and another put the exact same story, but they have a whole different spin on it, a whole different take. There's a different angle. Why? They don't serve the God that we serve. We have to be so careful when we read the word, look what's going on around us according to end times and see what's happening. Ephesians 5:8. Once again, Paul said, for you were in the darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So start walking as children in the light. Well, I don't know, but I just like my newspaper anymore. Stop reading it if it's contrary to God's word. Well, how can it be contrary to the word? When you read factual things, when you start reading opinion-based stuff, well, this is what I think, it doesn't matter. It matters what this says. It totally matters what God says. Well, if we would have just done this, and no, did you know God's in control of everything? Well, we could have slowed down Al-Qaeda if we, no, we couldn't have. It's God's timetable. All we can do is do what is right. He does the rest. Oh, we're going to stand before God today. And he said, God, I'm sorry. I could have slowed down Al-Qaeda. I could have stopped. No. He says, Grant, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I just asked you to preach the word and go witness to people and tell people that Jesus is coming. That's it. And lastly, Matthew 5:14. Here we go. This is Jesus speaking. Let people argue with this one. You, Matthew 5:14, you are light of the world. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. This is why it's so important you know the word. When we go through current events and we go through these studies, you are light. How do I know you're light? Because you know the word and exactly what's going on around you. How are you going to witness to people? Because you know the word with what's going on around you. That is light and it cannot be hid. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. This is why I'm telling you on Wednesday nights when you come here and go, wow, this is really good information. I'm going to take it home and ponder it. No, you're going to go home and you're going to go tell other people. Because it says it can't be hid. You can't put it under a bushel. On a candlestick, it gives light to an entire house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy. I've come to fulfill. Verse 17 of Matthew 5, that is why I love the Old and the New Testament. Because he said, I didn't come to get rid of the old. I came to fulfill the Old Testament. So we're going to read the whole thing. I'm not going to get stuck in one book in the New Testament, and that is the whole thing. The whole counsel is what we need to read, all 66 books. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. It means every single one of my promises are going to happen. Not one single one is going to be left undone, so stop discarding any single thing, and let's know it's all going to take place. So whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom. So if you start saying the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore, the New Testament doesn't matter, and I don't think this is going to happen. No, it says, gone with you. But whosoever shall do and teach what is right, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It's important what we're hearing. It's important what we're doing. It's important we understand the whole counsel of God's word. Because what the media will not tell you, because it's dark. I'm telling you, the media is dark. If you go away the other night, media is dark. I'm not saying never watch the news, because I watch the news all the time. I'm telling you, watch factual things. What happened? I don't need all the side stunk. That's why I don't like to listen. I like to read the news. I just like, give me quotes from who actually said something. I don't want your opinion. I want to know the quotes. Because what the media, dark media, didn't tell you is that when ISIS took over a weapons chemical facility, Al-Mathuna in Iraq, this complex made several different types of chemical gas. There are pictures there that are taken that's right on the news, and it's all over. This isn't conspiracy. This is what happened. Inside the facility, there's canisters of gas, from sarin gas, nerve gas, all those type of things, mustard gas. They put iron doors around that complex. What happened is the reports came out that there was nothing, but there was no military guarding these, because they said there was nothing in them, because they didn't want the insurgents to bomb these chemical facilities and explode it all up. So they just bolted it up, guarded it, and took off. We don't want them to know there's actual gas here, because so let's not protect anything. So now when the United States left, guess what? People are flooding in and getting everything that's left over. What do you think is being released in Syria right now? Syria, why? How do I know that? Because some chemicals were left in Iraq, some were in Syria. Well, okay, once again, is this conspiracy theory? No, I'm trying to tell you, Syria and Iraq are supposed to be doing this. This is what's going on. U.S. troops are gone. ISIS is taken using the weapons that were left. I do believe, once again, I'm not on a soapbox about President Bush. I'm not saying he's perfect at all. I'm saying I think he's owed an apology by a lot of people, because as time goes by, you say, whoa, guess what? I think he was right on some things. The fact is that the United States and the media did not want the weapons to be found, so they said nothing about it. They will use anything to get their next person or agenda done. They will use anything to get someone out of office, to get their person into office. Pastor, are you being political? No, I'm being biblical. The enemy uses whatever he can to use. But if you look at this next verse, I want to see you this perspective. I want to stay in the word. I addressed this a couple of weeks ago, but I want you to see this in light of what we're talking about. Revelation 13:1. John's writing, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon the horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy, We talked about that last week with that green band, but the heads of blasphemy, right? There is no God but Allah, and he has no son. And John, it says, anyone who says that God, that Jesus is not the Son of God, he is the Antichrist. Remember that? That's what it's talking about. And the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. His feet were a bear, his mouth, the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. Verse 3, I saw on one of his heads, he was wounded to death. How many of his heads? One. Not talking about a man, because it has several heads, right? It's a system, it's a beast system. His deadly wound was healed, and the world wondered after the beast. The world goes, oh no, this beast system. What is the beast system? It is also known as a caliphate. It is a one-world religion, a one-world government representing not just the 10 nations, but old mystery Babylon, which is going to rise up in the last 42 months. So one of those nations or a representation of that is one of those heads that was wounded and put to death. And the world wondered, man, we can't stop this beast. So they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, Satan. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who can make war with him? Who can take down this system now? Because it's a governmental system and it's a religious system. So the sea in the book of Daniel chapter 7, once again, last several weeks, we've paralleled Daniel and Revelation going back and forth. Daniel, Old Testament, 600 BC roughly, the Bible says, okay, now seal it up, right? Seal it up. I've told you enough. John, 600 years later, goes, okay, I'm going to open up all the mysteries that are left in the Bible. Here we go. Here is every single mystery that's in the end. So we go back and forth to Daniel and Revelation because not only do we get insight from Daniel, we get confirmation in Revelation of what Daniel's speaking of. So the sea in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, is the Great Sea or the Mediterranean Sea. Remember, Mediterranean Sea is to the west of Israel. It's on the banks, right? Tel Aviv, right there, that port. You have Turkey that's around there. You have Egypt. You have Libya, all in that Mediterranean Sea. So this beast, this system, these nations, right? The beast is the Antichrist leading 10 nations, rises up out of and around the Mediterranean Sea. That's also called back in the Ottoman Empire, we studied that in also in a lot of in Islam, they call it the Levant area, right? You guys remember that? That Levant area is everything on the east side of the Mediterranean going north up into Turkey and Greece and all the way down that south. So Book of Daniel says these nations are going to rise out of that area. The Quran says it's going to be the same area that these nations are going to come up against Israel. Verse 3, in Revelation, it says, one of those heads was wounded in death, speaking of the seven heads. It didn't say the horns, it said the heads. So represented here in the seven heads. Now, we talked about this. So there's 10 nations. You guys remember, there's 10 nations that the Antichrist is going to rise up, and he's going to lead that charge 42 months into it. Going back now to what he's speaking of here, John, is there are seven empires, right? You guys remember that? Sixth empire is the Roman Empire. The seventh empire was the first 42 months of the tribulation. The eighth empire is the last 42 months. So represented here, you have Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Mede, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Then we have the seventh empire rising up in the end days, which is your seven heads. That seventh empire is the seventh head, which is the first 42 months. The Bible says that the Antichrist comes out of one of those seven heads in Revelation 17:11. So out of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Mede, Persia, Greece, and Rome, you are going to have the Antichrist come out of one of those areas. That's why people say, man, I think it's going to be this area, this area, this area. So not left alone to Revelation, but all throughout the Bible, that's when you can start narrowing it down and saying, wow, and that's why I believe it's going to be in the Iraq, Syria area. All right, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Now, I've spoken about Babylon as the only prophetic empire that is on the beast that is dead, meaning the Babylonian Empire is no more. There's Babylon City, but not Babylon Empire. Greece still exists, Persians, which is Iran, Egypt, Syria, but Babylon, that Babylonian area, not the city of, that doesn't exist anymore. The Babylonian Empire doesn't exist anymore. So what we've got going through is a man will rise up and unite that Babylonian Empire, or Mystery Babylon. Is everyone with me right now? He's going to unite Mystery Babylon. So in the interpretation of the head that was dead, and the world wonders, right, who will reunite, who can come up against it? Who's going to be the soul? Who's going to be over? ISIS, we're watching ISIS, and we looked at direct quotes. ISIS is trying to reunite Mystery Babylon or the old Babylon Empire. The Quran says that this must take place, that this old area must come to power again in order to go south against Israel. Both are corresponding with another. Several weeks ago, we touched that this head is an area or a nation. It's not a man, because it said it's one of the heads. I don't know any seven-headed men. It is a that was funny, everyone. That made me laugh. Okay. Everyone's intense. Okay. It is a caliphate nation, or a caliphate region that the United Nations and the United States thinks we have stopped, meaning every time someone goes down from Saddam Hussein, from bin Laden, we all think we've stopped an Al-Qaeda insurgent. We all think we've stopped ISIS. We all think we've stopped Hamas. We all think we've stopped Hezbollah. And it keeps coming back. What keeps coming back? This head. This thing that's going to keep growing and keep getting stronger. Do you not see everything getting stronger? Do you not see it's just growing, it's expanding everywhere? Everyone said that Al-Qaeda is defeated. No, it's not. And now ISIS is just even worse than Al-Qaeda, is rising up even more. And it's even knocking out now entire power grids in Yemen. I put a map down there for you can see how far reaching it is, because it's not just Iraq, it's not just Iran, it's not just Syria, it's not in a few places in the United States on the northern Canadian border and Mexico. In Yemen, they knocked out the entire power grid. Now they're going after power plants and water supplies, not just there in the United States. Pastor, you're scaring me. No, I'm preparing you. Jesus is coming. I'm going to get yanked out of here according to the Bible. Well, then why are we talking about this? Because it lets us know how close we are to the end. The beast or caliphate that we thought, or the government thought, was dead is not defeated. It can't be, because the Bible says it's going to take over Israel. They're coming back, the current administration, and the next administration has to do something, right? They have to try to figure this out. This is why, like I said, that current event tonight of the foreign ministers coming into Israel, they're going, okay, you guys need a Bible class. If you want to help us deal with what's going on here in the Middle East, you need to study the Bible. Man, wouldn't that be great if Congress had to sit down, just like how when they founded the country, had to sit down and read the Bible again? Okay, you guys, do you guys all admit we got it wrong? Yes, everybody, on both sides. Doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, yeah, but we've got it all wrong, right? Let's sit down and read the Bible and see how we're supposed to figure this out. Number one, anyone who's for Israel, I will bless. I would start with that one right there. I want to be a blessed nation. Let's just start doing things right. And when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Oh, I'd start with that one as the American people. I'd start voting in things that are right. But the current administration and the one to come does not fight certain elements of this. There's a great danger. It's coming to the United States. The longer we wait, the longer we do not retaliate against a nation, it's going to be going into individuals, which we already see. You'll see people say, I just don't understand why we just don't go into nations and just start blowing them up. Because it's everywhere. See, the caliphate is rising up everywhere. This is where it could, this is so exciting, everyone. The Bible is actually taking place right in front of our eyes. The Bible is taking place right before our eyes. The Bible is taking place right before our eyes. We have gotten to the point where there's an entire army everywhere. And in order to take that out, you're going to have to start killing innocent people everywhere. So you're not going to do that. So what's going to be taking place? What the Bible said would be. In 1 Thessalonians, and 2 Thessalonians, it says, my spirit is going to start being pulled away. 2 Thessalonians, my spirit's going to start being pulled away. It's over. Why? So the enemy can start coming in. The enemy's going to start coming in. I believe that God's will that things are, it's God's will that things are going the way they're doing. God is allowing things to happen just like his word says he would. God promised that these things would take place. He can't go against his word. He said that nations will rise up against Israel. He said that the spirit of the Antichrist is going to come up. It's going to affect the whole world. He can't go against his promises. But as children of God, you know what? We pray for that protection over us. Not just protection physically, over our minds. We have, fear has to be gone in Jesus' name. You can't just keep calling this, well, I just don't want to talk about it then. You're commanded to talk about it. You're commanded to know it. So if you're commanded, okay, I have to do that. So guess what? Then I'm commanded to get rid of all fear, all of anxiousness, and I'm going to throw it to the side. Why? God, you're giving me this information to speak to other people. Why? So their calluses get removed from their eyes so they can see Jesus because he already chose them. Isaiah 17. God's word is true, everyone. His timing is perfect. It's perfect. Isaiah 17, 1. I want to share you something about the book of Isaiah as we wrap up tonight. We're going to continue on next week. Isaiah 17, 1, Old Testament, the burden of Damascus. Damascus is in what? Syria. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be in a ruinous heap. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be at the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. What is he talking about? Now, I'm not going to go into great detail tonight. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. I'm not trying to predict when the destruction of Damascus is going to take place. All I know that there is rebels coming up to trying to take over Damascus right now, chemically, biologically, and nuclear. It doesn't matter. They want to get as close as they can to Israel, and that is a major power city. It's the oldest city, really, that is mentioned in the Bible. But Isaiah 17, this is not your notes. I'm just going to give you something really quick here about this. It contains a prophecy of the destruction of Damascus in the Mideast location. Damascus is considered the oldest city in the Bible. Many people believe that the events of Isaiah is the next prophetic thing to happen, and I do believe it is too. Some speculate that Damascus will be nuked by Israel, which could probably happen too. But Isaiah 17 opens up with the word, the burden of Damascus, which indicates Damascus is in troubled times. Once again, it's not your notes. I'm just giving you a little something for next week and the next 2 weeks. The nature of this prophecy in verse 1 about Damascus is in ruins, and then in addition, Aurora, which is in verse 2. That is, and this isn't key right now, this is for current events tonight and for the next couple of weeks. In verse 2, Aurora is a city located in Jordan. This week, this past Sunday, the president, the head of Jordan, said the peace treaty that we signed with Israel is no longer good because Israel is causing all the problems with ISIS because ISIS is coming into Jordan. Verse 3, oh, this is so good. Verse 3 of that same chapter in Isaiah says, the fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus. That is northern Israel, which is the Golan Heights area. Where are they building the fence right now? Jordan and the Golan Heights. There was something that says when you see these things happening, specifically around Damascus, which ISIS is coming in, that's part of the Hadith, that's part of the Quran prophecy. Got to take out Syria, take out Damascus. The Bible says Damascus is going to be wiped out in one night. Well, I think that's Old Testament. Before you look at that, Isaiah 17 has application in the 8th century BC, but that city was never wiped out fully. According to this prophecy, it's going to be annihilated and gone. It's for today. We're going to get into that next week. But I want you to see in that verse 1 and 2 of Isaiah, it specifically talks about Damascus. It talks about Jordan. And it talks about the northern part, which is the Golan Heights, which butts up to the Lebanon. Okay, I got 5 minutes. Regarding Persia, back in your notes, in the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, Old Testament, the Islamic coalition attacks Israel in two places. The Islamic coalition attacks Israel in two places, the War of Gog and Magog. One place is called the Valley of the Passengers on the east of the sea, which is at the edge of the country of Jordan. Okay, Ezekiel 39:11, War of Gog and Magog. We're at the time of the rapture of the church. We're at the time of the rapture of the church. There's going to be a war. 10 nations specifically mentioned, all part of the Arab Spring, 7 of the 10, are going to rise up against Israel. Israel never fires a shot. The word says that the Bible says they're all wiped out. And this is where it's going to, this is where one of it's going to take place. One of this instance is going to take place. It's going to be in the Valley of the Passengers. You see that? Ezekiel 39:11. Right around the time the rapture of the church, the 10 nations that are going to be surrounding Israel, all those 10 nations are mentioned. One of those battles that they're going to insurge from just happens to be in the Valley of the Passengers. Look where the Valley of the Passengers is. Do you guys see that in Jordan? To the north of the Dead Sea, just east of Jericho? Oh, by the way, we just read that in Isaiah 17, that that's going to be one of the areas to watch out for. Oh, by the way, that just happens to be one of the areas that, Benjamin Netanyahu is putting up a fence. Current event, Benjamin Netanyahu is putting a fence up right there right now. Isaiah said, at the time Damascus goes down, at the time of someone, oh, by the way, did you know that Russia just shoved in a bunch of military planes and everything into Syria outside of Damascus? The Bible says in Isaiah 17, let's keep reading. Ezekiel 39:18, the Bible says then in the war of Gog and Magog, after that, they're going to come into Bashan, which is in the Golan Heights. Hold on, huh? Wait, where's the other place that they just put the fence up? Oh, the Golan Heights. Wait, in Isaiah 17, where's the other city? It's to the north of the Golan Heights. There is going to be a battle taking place very soon. Three different places in the Bible all mention the exact same thing. 600 years apart, they wrote this. Not just in the Old, but in the New Testament. So this shows us a couple things. These two areas, to the north and to the east, not just in current events, but in Isaiah, also as we just read in Ezekiel. The radical organizations have to get strong in these two border areas. Bible, Ezekiel and Isaiah, they have to get strong in these two areas. So they have to build up before they can go to war in this place. Right out of the Bible, everyone. Right out of the Bible. It says they're going to have to get strong because they're going to attack. Where is Israel protecting right now? To the north and to the east. Where are insurgents being at? Not from Syria, from Russia, from ISIS. Everyone's to the north in Golan Heights. Jordan this week just said, Israel's done. We can't deal with this anymore. We're off. Palestine has a flag, red, green, white, and black. Smack dab in Jerusalem, to the east, right where this prophecy is supposed to take place. Secondly, the head of Iraq does not want to step down, but at some point they'll be forced to. Why? Because he's a Shia, and the Shias are strong from Baghdad south into Iran, which is the country of Persia. In order to fight radical al-Qaeda groups that are multiplying every day by the thousands, Persia, which is Iran, has to unite with the Shias to fight them. So when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, which has not yet happened, the war of Gog and Magog, Persia, Iran has to lead the way. We know that Persia has to come out on top to lead this coming from the north. In the Quran, it says as soon as you see Iran getting strong, this is in the Quran, it says, as soon as you see Iran getting strong, go get the Mahdi from Iraq because we're going to come up against Israel. Man, that was good. Thank you. Okay, so there's the two things going on. We're going to pick this up next week. Oh, my goodness, this is so good. Okay, let's all stand. You guys get this tonight? It's happening right in front of us. Current events to the east in Jordan. Old Testament said it was going to happen right at the time of the end. Benjamin Netanyahu says, we got to put up a fence in Jordan. Jordan says, I got to come up against Israel. This is ding, 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 ding. It's all taking place right here. Father, thank you for your word tonight. This is the most exciting time ever to live. To be chosen to be your end time servants, to go out and get the word, to actually see the whole culmination of the Bible take place right before our eyes. How exciting is that? Father, with this information, I think comes great responsibility. And as we started tonight, we're going to end. That Father, through your word, even as Paul in the book of Acts, he said that he was in the dark. He was in the dark about what was going on. You called us to be children of the light, and that's why we read the word, to be in the light. But Father, I'm asking right now for anyone who's in the sanctuary tonight who maybe is in the dark, who's in the dark, Father, maybe not to what they just heard tonight in current events, but in the dark in regards to the relationship with you. They've gotten away from you. Father, they don't trust you with their whole heart. There's something going on that's stopping. Maybe it's a past that says, I'm not worthy any longer. Father, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's an abortion. Maybe it's something that they're just so sick in their stomach they can't. The word says, I have forgiven and forgotten. But they have to come to the cross. So if that's you tonight and you are not serving Jesus Christ with all your heart, you've never asked him in your heart, or once you did, but you are no longer following him, tonight is the night of your salvation. Tonight is the night it could all change. As you walk out this door tonight, not trying to scare, I'm trying to prepare you for what it has, because no one's promised tomorrow. If you want to receive Jesus Christ in your heart, as the word says, to confess him with your lips that he is Lord, to ask him to wash all your sins away, and that you want to follow him the rest of your days, you don't want to go back, I want you to pray with me tonight, whether you're at home, whether you're in the car, you're watching online at home right now on the computer or in the sanctuary. So repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me from all my sins. Wash me clean and white as snow. Forgive me of all that I've done. I want to follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. The word says, churches, our heads are bowed. The word says, if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, it says he comes into your life and everything's new from that point forward. So, Father, as we continue to pray, I'm just asking right now, as people across, as they're listening tonight in this sanctuary, it's now on them that you chose, they chose to follow you right now. Now that choosing says, I want to be discipled now. Father, I pray even right now, the Holy Spirit is just working on them. It says they want to know more about who you are. What do I do next? What is the next steps from discipleship classes that we offer here, from getting to Sunday school to teachings on Wednesdays and Sundays to their own personal devotions? Father, it can't stop here. So I'm praying right now, as we have been for months, for more of my family members who are not serving you, from extended family who is not serving you, for anyone else here right now, if you start saying the name of those people right now, because ask those calluses right now. Ask for the blinders to be removed in Jesus' name. So I come up against the enemy right now, just as Paul said, and it says the blinders were on his eyes. But once the Holy Spirit came upon him, the blinders were removed in Jesus' name. And he woke up and he saw, and it says, then the meat came and it gave him strength and him nourished, because the word is what they need to be discipled. So Father, I'm praying for that right now in Jesus' name, that we don't give up hope, because as Paul said in Timothy, I am the chiefest of sinners. So if God could show mercy on me, he could show mercy on any single person. So let us stop judging people in their past and look forward to what a clean slate in their future could be in you. Father, be with us tonight as we march forward with our shoulders back, held firm and high, knowing that we are more than conquerors than those in Jesus Christ, that anything is possible with God, and that it's not your will that anyone should perish, but they have to choose you. They have to walk with you and receive you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Everyone have a great night. Hopefully I will see you in the air. If not, Sunday is good.